All right, we're going to continue where we left off a couple of weeks ago. Been looking at some things, just some little small thoughts out of that the Lord laid on my heart out of Psalm 23. We've been looking at verse number 4 for a pretty good while now, and verse 4 of Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And so, we've been looking at this verse number 4, like I said, I don't know for how long now, and, just some different thoughts that the Lord's laid on my heart about. And as we come down to verse 4, we know that we're dealing with the security that we have in our shepherd. And David reflects there at the latter part of verse number 4 and says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And he finds some comfort, he finds some affirmation in knowing that the Lord is present with him. And you and I can be comforted the same way. And we've looked at the rod, and we started last time looking at the staff. And the truth of the matter is, everything we read about in this Bible is all a picture and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And that's what the rod represents, that's what the staff represents. Everything that you look at that's good in our Bible, guess who it refers to? And if you'll trace it back far enough, you'll look at it long enough, you'll see Christ in it. Every page in your Bible.
Go ahead.
And what a blessing that is, that man, it all just ties together and it's so perfect. But we've been thinking some about that staff, and last time we looked at just a few of the typical uses that you find of that shepherd's staff, which, is the staff that typically long, 5-6 feet long, something like that, has a hook on it, and that hook is typically found only for shepherds, and it has a purpose, and one of those purposes we looked at was for prodding the sheep. He'd take that long end, he'd reach out, and he'd nudge those sheep to get things done that he needed to get done, get them to move a certain way, and I'm thankful for the nudges from the Lord, but then we also started looking at Dustin, that there's times that the shepherd can take that rod, and as he's following or beside those sheep or whatever, when one of them tries to step out of the way and go the wrong direction, he can take that rod as an extension of his arm, brother, and he can reach that thing out and say, "No, not that way."
Right.
Like a fence, like a guard that he puts up for him. And I'm thankful for some times that the Lord's prevented things in my life. And but until we reach heaven, we will probably never know all the things that God has stopped that could have led to shipwreck, catastrophe, failure, if it had not been for the Lord.
Hey, praise the Lord.
Right? I mean, that's just the truth of it. And so last time we dealt with some things. It must have hit home because I got more comments last time we taught Sunday school than probably I ever have in my life. Evidently, we got a lot of people that likes to mow their yard on Sunday and likes to go to the lake. Amen. And I wasn't, I want everybody to understand that in the things that I'm going to deal with, and we'll get out of some of those things today, but I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm not trying to hurt anybody.
Right.
I'm not trying to rob any liberty that we have. What I'm saying is everything we do has a place. And there's in good things, in things that we do, things we enjoy, I mean, as long as they're not sin, they're right in their own place.
Right. Sure, brother.
But we've got to be careful to not let them get in the way of what our main goal is. And you got to remember, our main goal is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if the good things that we do begin to rob from His glory, then they become bad things. Everybody understand what I'm saying? So it's not that riding a four-wheeler or fishing or mowing your yard or hunting or working on cars or racing. I mean, any of those things, amen, burn it up. but do it in its right place.
Right.
Is that easy enough? It's not always that easy, is it? We say here that it's easy. But when we get out there in the world and somebody says, why don't we go do this? And it's a good friend and you have to say no. And then they say, well, why not? And then you got to tell them why. And then it's either you're going to offend the Savior or you're going to offend your friend. The Bible does say, I think faithful are the what?
Wounds
of a friend.
Yep.
So you say, well, I don't want to hurt my friend. Well, you might help him with a faithful wound. If you're faithful to the Lord, you can be a faithful friend. Just think about that for a while. But, so there's some things that God does as our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, through the Word of God, through the Holy Ghost, through some hard blocks that He puts up in life sometimes to prevent us from making big mistakes.
Yep.
And we're going to still look at a few of those today. I feel like these are helpful. And you say, well, how did you come up with these? Well, some of them I just thought of, you know, from Scripture. Some of them, as I went to the ones that I thought of, there were some words, Brother Kevin, that stood out. In all those verses, those bewares, those lests. When you start looking up the word beware, lest, take heed.
Yes.
Those are some places in Scripture where the Lord has laid a hard line of prevention that says, take heed, don't go there, don't do this, you better stop before you get to that point. I'm thankful for some lines God has drawn for us.
Oh, yeah.
And so I appreciate that. So the first thing that we'll look at this morning that God wants to prevent us from, Dustin, is from going to another gospel.
Hey.
Another gospel. Look at Galatians with me, chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Verse number 6. Paul writes, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, right? It's not really a gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. But he didn't stop there. He says, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, today, we are surrounded by denominations, churches, so-called, all kinds of things. And we look at their lives and we look at the work they're doing and we think, man, they're doing a good work, Brother Joe. They're out helping people. They're doing things that appear to be good. And it's real easy for us to be easy on them. And don't get me wrong. We need to be gracious. And we need to show forth kindness. But Adam, when it comes to the point of them perverting the gospel,
that's right.
And they step out and they're trying to take a gospel to somebody that is not really the gospel, then I know what the Bible says about them.
Amen.
And it's very serious. He says, let them be accursed.
That's right.
That's serious talk. And Paul thought so seriously about it that when he wrote it, the Holy Ghost said, once is not enough. He said, say it one more time. Let them be accursed.
Yes.
That's how serious the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is. Amen. If we pervert it, folks, I know what it says.
Yes, sir.
Let them be accursed. That's dangerous grounds. There's some things we might get mixed up on. There's some things you and I can't maybe see eye to eye on in Scripture. But right there is one of them we can't mess up.
That's right.
And when you start taking the gospel and you start twisting it up and you start throwing in circumcision, that's what was happening to this church. Is Paul had come and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus, like we read over in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's flip over there so I'm not confusing anybody. This is what we're talking about when we say the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. You understand the importance that he's saying right there of the gospel? It's through that gospel that we are saved. That's what we're supposed to be standing in and standing on. If you take our gospel, folks, what we have is not real anymore. It says, by the which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of 12, and He goes on and tells who all He was seen of. But you understand the simplicity of the gospel is that Christ died, was buried, and that He rose again. That is the gospel. That is the gospel of your salvation. That's how you get saved. You understand that that counted for you. Simplicity. And we'll get to that here shortly as well. But the problem lies is where Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Church of Christ, I don't care. It don't matter. The name does not matter. We have Baptist churches, Brother Kevin, that would teach that in order to get saved, you have to be right here.
Right.
You have to. There has to be a certain thing going on. It has to be just right.
Go ahead.
And if it wasn't like that, it's not real. What I'm saying is we got to be careful to not corrupt the gospel.
You're right.
The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody gets that right, and Brother Kevin, they mess up the prayer a little bit. They might mess up the prayer a little bit.
Right.
Some of you here, I venture to say, can't remember the prayer that you prayed.
Right.
It wasn't about the prayer.
Right.
It's not about it's not about the place.
Right.
It's about the person.
Hey.
And the person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you get everything else wrong, but you get the person right. Hey, you don't have to worry about the rest. It's the person. It's His death. It's His burial. It's His resurrection. That's what matters. Folks, let's not sweat the small stuff.
Right.
Let's look at the big picture.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid today we as Baptists have tried to set our feet down so hard that we have almost got in the way of salvation of souls.
Hey.
That we have said it has to be this way and this way and this way, and if it's not this way, then it can't be right. How about let's get back to the gospel?
Right.
And if they get the gospel right, whether they're standing and praying and no matter how it comes,
go ahead.
As long as that sinner, Brother Joe, gets the gospel.
Yes.
And they receive that. I remember there was an Ethiopian eunuch one time. Folks, all that happened was Philip went over there and got to talking to him about the gospel. He shared the gospel with him. And you know what happened? That Ethiopian saw some water and he said, hey, there's some water. Let me get baptized. He says, what hinders me from getting baptized? He said, I'm ready. They had, as far as I know, the Scripture doesn't say they ever prayed, that there was any tears shed. I don't know none of that. What I do know is that Philip said, hey, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest.
That's right.
And all I know is the next thing, they were going down into the water.
That's right.
What does that tell me? All of the things that happen are not as important as the gospel.
That's right.
Let's not get caught up on things that don't matter.
Amen.
And we got to be careful that we don't mix and add or take away from the gospel.
Yeah. True.
That's what matters. Folks, if they get the gospel right, guess what happens? Everything else just falls into place.
Guarantee that's right.
The repentance is right.
Yes.
I mean, they go together. You can't believe the gospel and not have repentance. It don't work. You know, there's people that are hung up on their repentance. Right? They'll say, well, my repentance wasn't right. Or they've not really repented. That's not for me or you to decide. What I know is if they recognize themselves as what they were and they turn to the Savior, that's the repentance that salvation's looking for. It's not that they come up. Now, we sing some good songs that I love about confessing all of our sins. Folks, you can't remember all your sins. It's not about the things that you've done.
Thank God.
If it was, I mean, if we had to confess every sin that we committed, we'd be in trouble. Every one of us would be in hell.
Yep.
See, we start twisting. It's what we do. It wasn't about... I don't remember Christ ever going to one sinner and saying, tell me all things that you did.
Go ahead.
Did he ever approach anybody that way? The lady at the well, did he say, tell me all your sins? He already knew them. What she had to do was recognize who he was and understand what she was. And once that got right, everything else just fell into place. If I could help anybody here today, is take your hands off of the gospel and let it do what it does. Our job is to share it. It's not to determine who's the right person to share it with. It's not to determine the right place and the right time to share it. It's not all that. He said to go spread it. We need to spread it. And we need to let God do what He does. The gospel is still the gospel. Don't add anything. Don't add baptism. Don't add good works. Don't add Baptist to it. Don't add an altar to it.
Go ahead.
I'm for the altar. The mourner's bench. Whatever you want to call it. I'm for it. I like seeing me use it. I like seeing my family use it. But it's a wood bench. As much as Amazing Grace is special to me, Amazing Grace is not the gospel.
Hey, thank God.
I'm talking about the church. Amazing Grace is not the gospel. They can get saved at any other church, at their house, driving down the road, whatever. As long as it's about the gospel.
Amen.
Let's not be removed from the gospel. It's a very serious thing to make sure that our gospel is right. If we can keep the gospel right, a lot of things will turn out good.
Oh, yeah.
But be careful. Be careful not to be removed and go to another gospel. Don't add things to it. And don't take things away. Easy enough? I hope so. Folks, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Now, it's easy for us, Brother Adam, to start. The Galatians were so soon removed. They had received the gospel. And how quickly we forget that, Brother Kevin, it's simple.
Yes, thank God for it, brother.
And we need to make sure that the gospel is the gospel and that we preach it and teach it that way. Man, we focus on lots of other things, Brother John. And all those other things that we focus on, I think right here in this church, are good things. Got to be careful not to mix it with the gospel.
Amen. Right.
So, matters of salvation, what we look to is the gospel.
Yes.
Right? The gospel. All right. We'll move on. So some of the things we've looked at so far is being a stumbling block. He's wanting to prevent us from being a stumbling block and from being a castaway. And he's wanting to prevent us from going after another gospel. But one of the other things that I found was he wants to prevent us from falling. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with me. Do quite a bit of reading here because I feel like it's all part of the context. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ."
Yep.
He's laying a foundation here. He says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for what? Our admonition." That means to keep us from going through the same things that they went through. It's to correct us before it happens, Gavin. "Upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So what he did, well, let me read the rest of it. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." So, as we think about this passage, what he's trying to do is prevent them from what? Falling. And he lays a foundation. And he goes back there and he looks at all those children of Israel, Brother Kevin. And you notice how many times he says, "and all of them"?
All of them, brother.
All of them.
That's right.
So what he's saying is that there was no difference. They all came out. They all followed Moses. That's what, when it's talking about the baptism of Moses, it's talking about that they identified with him, they followed him, they went after his teachings. All those things. They were all the same. But you notice then it switches and it goes from all to some.
Yep.
He says they were all brought the same way up to this point. Just like anybody that's born again. Anybody that gets to that point, it's a level playing field. It's all the same. But then differences happen. There's some of us that make bad choices, make bad mistakes. And we've got some things here written to us that we know that the children of Israel did that we know we're not supposed to be doing.
Yep.
Idolatry, fornication, lust,
go ahead,
murmuring. Folks. And then he says, just in case you think that couldn't be you, he says, you better take heed lest you fall. Because there's not anybody in here,
you're right,
that's not capable of any one
that's
of these
right,
sins.
Right.
Brother Delmer, as long as you've been on this way and as spiritual as you are, you're still capable of committing any of this. And when you ever get to the point where you think you're not, that's when you're in danger of falling. And so God's telling us these things. This is our shepherd that's holding that rod out here and saying, there's a line there that you don't need to cross. And you need to be paying attention to what's happened before so that you know not to go here. Don't do this because you are capable. You can't handle it. That's what he's saying.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for the promise that we also find here. Down in verse 13, he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, I want everybody to understand, this verse is taken out of context so often.
Yep.
This verse is literally dealing with temptations to fall.
Right.
That is what this is dealing with, Gavin. It's not dealing with the Lord testing me, trying me.
Go ahead.
It's not about sickness in my life. It's not about hard times. Folks, there were times that the Apostle Paul was pressed out of measure. It was more than he could handle. So we're going to have to deal with things more than you or I can handle. That's not what this verse is talking about. People use it that way, but that's not what it's about. This verse, in its context, is dealing with sin that was in the lives of these Israelites and the temptations that they faced because they were in a wilderness. So they were in that testing, trying period. You understand? It wasn't that God was getting them out of that wilderness, although he did eventually, but a lot of them never made it out.
Yep.
But what he's saying is, in those times of temptation, when they were tempted to go to idolatry, when they were tempted to commit fornication, when they were tempted to murmur, when they wanted water because they were thirsty, when they wanted food and they got tired of the manna, so they wanted some meat, all those things that it's referring to, when those temptations came, what he's saying is there is a way of escape. What's the way of escape? The Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, he was the rock that followed them. They never had to worry about a drink. They never had to worry about food. But they did. They tempted the Lord. And so often in our lives, we do these same things. But take heed. Brother Kevin, Brother Dustin, Wayne, Matt, Delmer, go around the room. Brother Doug, whoever you want to point out, there's not one of us that's above falling. And it's just a wonder. I mean, just it's the grace of God is what it is.
Yep.
That we don't. And actually, Jude 24 says, now unto him that is able to what? To keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. It's not me, Brother Kevin, that keeps myself. It's not you that keeps you. If we are kept from falling, it is purely by the grace of God because it says He is able. And how is He able? Because in every time that there's a chance, He provides a means of escape. All you got to do is grab a hold of the lifeline. When you're going under like Peter was, say, Lord, save me. It's that simple. And, man, I say this at all times. I realize I've got some young people in here that sometimes the way to get out of temptation is literally to run.
Yes, sir. Thank God.
I mean, literally, if it means opening the car door and stepping out and walking away, that's how you flee temptation.
That's right.
Sometimes it's not as spiritual as we make it. It's not about putting yourself in harm's way and being able to withstand it.
Go ahead.
Sometimes the way to escape is the latch on the door. Sometimes it's a doorknob. Sometimes it's a cell phone. Sometimes you pick it up and say, Mom, Dad, Pastor Kevin, I'm in trouble. And if somebody don't get me out of here, something's going to happen. That's all it takes. You call me, you in trouble, you call me, I'll do everything I can to drop what I'm doing to come get you out of harm's way. I ain't scared of that. Folks, you young people, listen up. We got a lot of youngins in here. We got a lot of them 25 and below in here. We've been there. Wasn't too long ago I was there. Some of these older ones, you may look at them and think, man, they've got it so easy. They've not forgotten what it was to be those ages and to know the temptations and the struggles that you're dealing with.
You're right.
And let's us older ones not act so super spiritual that they don't feel comfortable reaching out to us.
Right.
It'd be good for some of us when we realize some of these folks are in harm's way.
Hey.
It'd be good for us to confess a little bit so that they understand that we've went through the same thing. Those things in the Old Testament were written for our what? Example. For our admonition. And our lives ought to be examples and admonition for those coming behind us. So, some prevention in our lives. The staff of God, the staff of the shepherd, he's preventing some things. And, man, we can buck him. And we can just try to keep going and going and going. But, man, it's so easy if we see that staff and that stop, that line that he draws, and we say, oh, I don't need to go there. Just get back where we need to be.
Right.
Saves a whole lot of headache, a whole lot of heartache. What time is it? Probably after time. Are they out? Do what? I've still got 5 minutes. Amen. Well, that's good. All right. So we'll keep going. Let's keep going. All right. Everybody okay?
Hey.
Some prevention. Preventative measures that he's put in place. Ain't it good that he let us know about these things?
Yes.
And that he didn't just throw us out there, Brother Kevin, to the wolves, literally? We'll get there here in a bit. To the wolves. So, not only falling, but what about corruption? 2 Corinthians 11. We'll finish up with this one. Verse 1 through 3 says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This sort of ties in with what we're talking about with the gospel. And let's skip on down to the last three verses. And he explains where some of this comes from. Verse 13, he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Right.
And so the other thing, one of the other things that we've been put some preventative measures in place of is corruption. And today, and I've sort of already mentioned some of this with the gospel, but we've got people that have crept into our churches that the Bible calls them false apostles, deceitful workers. Right?
Yep.
It says that they transform themselves, right, into angels of light. And see, if you go back up to the verse number 3 that we read, it says But I fear by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through what? Through his subtlety. What that means is, Joe, it means that it happened in such a way that they didn't realize what was happening.
That's right.
That's what that word subtle means. That means it changes so gradually or in such a way that it's not even seen, Brother Kevin. Yeah. But there is a change. Something different happened that corrupted what they had. And it would be so easy here, if we're not careful, that we could let something come in here through the wrong things, the wrong music, the wrong teaching,
yes,
the wrong Bible, all those different things, the wrong accessories in our church. That's why we're so careful here.
Right.
Is we don't want to allow things to subtly creep in and change.
Yep.
And if you look around, there's churches right here in our area that 10 years ago looked totally different. And now you go into them and you don't even recognize it. You think, is this the same place? Wait, that's not the same Bible. Wait, those teachers, they're not the same ones that were here 10 years ago. Wait, half the church is different than what it used to be. How does that happen? Subtly. And it's through allowing things to go on that don't need to go on. And that word corruption basically just means to take something good and to turn it bad. That's what the word corruption means.
Yep.
And all it takes is one little thing. We let our guard down in one little area. And then all of a sudden, good that we've had is no longer good. It becomes bad. And it's corrupt. And the last time I checked, you can't get good fruit out of corrupt tree. And so we've got to be careful and watch for corruption.
Yes.
It's not that we're, Brother Kevin, trying to be lords over anything.
Right.
We're not trying to harm you. If you approach Brother Kevin and you say, I want to sing this song, and he says, no, not here, don't get offended. Be happy. And say, praise the Lord for a pastor that cares enough. It may not even be that what you was planning on singing was wrong. But he cares enough about our people, about our church, to guard against it. And say, I'd just rather that not happen here.
Yep.
Folks, if you approach me with a youth choir song and say, I think this would be good for our youth to sing, and you don't hear us sing it, just thank the Lord.
Hey.
Don't be mad at me. I might not be as spiritual as you, and I might just feel like that might not be the best song, and I might be wrong. But I'd rather be wrong and be safe.
Thank God.
Would you not rather err on the side of caution? I know it's been good so far. What we've sung so far has been good. I got to be careful what we add in.
Yes.
Man, we got to be so careful. Don't want to add something that teaches some false doctrine. That's why we don't sing some of the songs in our hymn book. Why? Because they teach some false doctrine. It's not that we don't like them. Man, it's not that we've got something against them other than that they're against this.
Hey.
And when you go against this, then we like, sorry. We draw the line.
Hey.
We're done. So anyway, I wasn't trying to kill the meeting this morning.
Good.
Wasn't trying to hurt nobody. I just want everybody to understand that God's got some preventative measures in place as He uses that staff to guide us and get us where He wants us to be. So I appreciate your good attention. We'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray down through the hallway there.